Shut up and sit down.
What's going on, guys? This is the MMA Complex. My name is Josh.
And I'm James.
And we're back. Brand new episode, 200th episode. This is our 200th episode, 5 years in.
Oh, damn,
we made it, man.
Crazy.
We made it. Yeah, 200 episodes.
That's a
congratulations.
Long time, man. That's quite a fleet feat.
Yeah, yeah. It's been fun.
Really
we've done we've put in a lot of work in this thing, and you know, it's been a good 5 years. Definitely the first few years was a lot of work for us in terms of
And a lot of fun.
Recording events, doing road trips, getting guests.
Judging fights.
Sure, what else? Going to, like, you know, weigh-ins and press conferences and workouts, open workouts, and just getting video and audio and putting them into the podcast and meeting everybody and getting to know a lot of people in the business and fighters.
Yeah,
and
that's the most fun, huh? Like those first, like, 4 years,
yeah.
You would say, I would say.
Because we put in a lot of work. We weren't fucking around. We weren't just doing some bullshit little podcast just and not putting any work into it. Like, we put a lot of work into this thing.
Yeah, I remember the first major promotion that credentialed us was Invicta, right?
Invicta, yeah.
I remember going to your house because I think I was communicating with New York Rick.
Yeah, who we ended up becoming friends with.
Yeah. And I was so happy.
Yeah.
I couldn't even tell you on the phone. I had to tell you in person. So I went out with you. I was to tell you we got a credential to Invicta.
Yeah. Waiting. John Pollock.
Dude. All those guys, man. All those guys that we looked up to, like, became friends of ours, which is crazy to think.
And we got to meet and interview a lot of people that, you know, you look at where they're at now, you know, like a Max Holloway
to Brian Ortega.
Brian Ortega, Alima McFarlane.
Misha Tate.
I mean, she was somewhat established around that time, but she wasn't UFC Misha Tate.
Yeah.
She was like Strikeforce Misha Tate.
Yeah. Although we did interview her like at Combate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Combate. Uh-huh. Yeah. Boss Rutan. Remember Boss Rutan? We had Boss Rutan on the show.
I completely forgot we even had him on our show.
Remember we had Mark Hunt on the show?
That's right.
It's like
Tony Ferguson. John Fitch.
And this is Tony Ferguson, like, yeah, you know, before he was Tony.
Yeah.
Before he was on that, like, crazy run.
Yeah, Stitch.
Stitch.
Tito Ortiz.
Yep.
Damn, that's crazy. We had someone else, like, did we interview Sarah McMahon on camera or?
Yeah.
We've had her
twice on the show.
Yeah, she was on our show. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What's her name? Former contender. She lost to Holly Holm in a close fight. What's her face's girlfriend? Ex girlfriend?
Amanda Nunes?
No. Well, we had her on.
Well, we
on
had her
show.
On the show before too.
No. Torres, the girlfriend.
Tisha Torres. Raquel Pennington.
Yeah, we had Raquel.
Raquel Pennington.
Yeah, that's right.
We've had, who else have we had? I mean, tons of people.
Yeah.
Eddie Bravo.
Yeah.
A bunch of times. Chai Lewis Perry a bunch of times.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go through some of our Instagram, but talk about some of your favorite moments.
Definitely judging was a highlight.
And being cool with Big John and then, like, being able to see him at events and then, like,
yeah, no, it's crazy. And then
crazy. It's just fucking mind-blowing.
Being on the show, on Frank Mir's show, was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Being asked to be on a show was cool.
Shout out to Phone Booth Fighting. Shout out to them, man.
That was fun. I mean, every time
Calvin Gaslam.
Oh, yeah.
Right before he fought Bisbean. Ben Saunders.
That's right.
Denise Keholtz, who's a Bellator fighter now. A couple of ONE Championship people, who else? Oh, we had Jimmy Rivera on the show, Gary Tonin, and Ryan, Gordon Ryan. Before they were
numerous times,
like before they were who they are now.
Yeah,
they are like
they're just straight jiu-jitsu guys.
They're straight jiu-jitsu guys, And they were, before they were like big names in jiu-jitsu. Like we got to hang around.
Remember, with them. Remember? We're at the EBI and we saw Anthony, the guy that killed himself, with the chef, the
Bourdain,
yeah.
Oh no, his wife though.
No, but he was like, wasn't he there one time?
Was he there one time?
I think he was. Yeah, I do remember him being there. He was like,
yeah. Well, his wife was a jiu-jitsu person who she went to school with those with Gary Tonin and all them. She goes to that.
Oh yeah, Rose Gracie and Javi Mendez.
Yeah, and shout out to Rose who really helped us out a lot. I think.
Yeah.
In terms of like connecting us with people.
Yeah.
Granting us access to jiu-jitsu events and then really helping our show and, you know, as much as she could, really. Mertel Groenhart, who's a big glory kickboxer now. He's super popular now. Megan Anderson.
Yeah. Back when she was nothing and
back
she was
when
actually
she was not... like nobody knew who she was.
Angela Hill.
Yeah, Sarah McMahon. We had Brittany Palmer on the show. Shoot, who else have we had?
Mercedes from Bellator.
Mercedes from Bellator. Liz Carmouche.
Yeah.
Some of these, I'm going through some of these. I completely forgot we had them on our show. Bunch of combate people, Kira Batara and all them. Tatiana Suarez and Savant Young. Like Tatiana, before she was like, kind of like a high contender in the UFC.
Yeah.
Georgie Karakhanian. Who else?
Aaron Pico.
Uh-huh.
A few times. Hoyce Gracie.
Yeah. Yeah, Hoyce Gracie. Whitney Miller was, I think, one of our first was Whitney Miller. Sarah McMahon.
Angela Lee.
Yeah. Tiffany Van Soest. Who else? Tanya Evinger. We've had Frank Mir and Richard Hunter on our show before.
Yeah. And we were on their show as well, too.
Ariel Beck. Jason Agnew. Remember you got Jason Agnew?
Oh, yeah. We got like mostly all the law guys on our show.
Yeah, yeah.
John Way, Jason Agnew.
Yeah.
All the like Fight Network guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Robin Black, who was on our show.
Robin Black. Claudio Da Silva.
Oh, Luke Thomas.
Yeah, we've had Luke Thomas on the show. Yeah.
We had him.
Gochi Yamaguchi was in Bellator. He had him back in 2016.
I remember we had Luke right after the Ronda Rousey fight.
Yeah.
When Ronda Rousey lost to Holly Holm.
Robin Black.
Yeah.
And we used to get like people on our Instagrams and do shout outs.
Yeah.
Like here's a. Yeah. I'm Amanda Nunes. Remember?
Yeah.
Because Amanda Nunes giving us a shout out right there.
And then Dana White did it too.
Yeah, Dana White. Boss Roon. Remember Boss Roon?
Yeah. I completely forgot. That we had him on our show.
Remember we used to do these?
Oh, yeah. Until you got banned from the comic store.
It's a MMA complex, like little like
video
that we did.
Look at that. Oh God,
Jesus Christ! Oh, Hanzo Gracie.
Oh, Hanzo Gracie, that's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, we had him on a show too, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Stitch Duran.
Hey, thanks, Stitch.
Yeah, who else? Francisco Rivera.
Yeah, and like we were even friends with the high end people from the commission.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanchez. Here's Boss Roon. A lot of people always make things complex. It's the craziest thing, but
no, not with this MMA complex. Listen to that. Oh damn, that was great. Aaron Hawani's the one of us for.
Yeah, yeah. Shannon, we have Shannon Knapp, Invicta president.
Oh shit!
Jesus Christ, man.
Herb Dean. Try to find that the everyone was good. The show that he did.
That's right.
That was a good one. When you find it, try to play it. That was hilarious.
Oh, Rico Verhoeven. Before he was kind of like Rico. Jesus Christ! How many people?
Yeah, that area was hilarious.
Amber KGB Lee, Amber, what's it called? Andrea Lee.
We had a.
Oh, we had the Submission Radio guys.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. That was a.
Yeah. Esther Lynn, remember we had them? Raquel yeah. Pennington. Raquel Pennington was actually one of our first. Nick Newell. Oh, yeah. Nick Newell was one of our first. We had Nick Newell in 2015, October.
Mark Ramondi. New York Rick, numerous times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. A lot of work, man. Some of these ads, like these remember those we used to do? Yeah. Dude. Throwback.
Oh, shit. I see your girlfriend about a year.
Oh, my God, man. So many.
Yeah, good times, man.
Yeah, good times, huh? So many.
Yeah, some of those guys.
That's not even all of them. Yeah. We've had interviews with Boss Rutten, obviously, Mark Hunt. Again, Max Holloway, Brian Ortega, Tito Ortiz.
That one girl, who her husband beat her, Lee, was that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Andrew KGB Lee. Yeah. Yeah. Well, she was on our show a couple of times. She gave us a couple of shout-outs. We go on Instagram, go all the way down. It's a lot of good stuff on there, man.
Irene?
Aldana, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and those first few years, like we were talking about, they were just, it was just, every month, a fight, man.
Yeah, because with us, like, we would approach a fighter and ask for an interview, and then we would tell them if they can do like a little shout out.
Yeah,
right after.
Yeah, so what we did was we started doing the podcast. Then what we really wanted to do was like kind of be free media journalists. We wanted to really not just do a podcast. We wanted to go out, get video and audio interviews for our YouTube channel, eventually our YouTube channel. And to insert into our episodes.
Yeah.
So we did that. And then we started the website. And then we started applying for credentials. And then luckily we started getting, you know, Victa. And then mm-hmm. Combate and Glory. And
it was cool, like, making those relationships. Because it's like every time they came in town, like, we were kind of, like, guaranteed.
Yeah,
a seat in the house.
And during the 2015, 16, 17, 18 years, all those organizations were coming out here often.
Yeah.
Like now not so much anymore.
Because I remember before you went to do your internship with the UFC, we never really talked about it. But it was weird because when you came back home to Los Angeles, we both had the mindset or the idea to start a podcast without even talking to each other about one. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I got back and then, like, let's say we should do a podcast. And you're like, yeah, I've been thinking about when we're doing something like, yeah. Then we found a spot, started out of the back of a comic book shop.
Yeah. We started using first we kind of jacked the Grand Theft Auto logo.
Yeah. We tried different logos over the years, different graphics for our shows.
Came up with our own.
Yeah. We came up with our own look.
This one here and we.
This one there.
We own the right to everything.
Yeah.
It's our baby.
Yeah. And we put a lot of work into it. It's been 5 years and it's been good. It's been a good time. I mean, ideally, I don't know what we wanted to get out of it. I think what we want eventually, and you know, we'll see what happens, is to do this full time.
Yeah.
To talk to fighters. Talk about fights and do it full time.
I think it's not easy. I think with right now with what's going on in the world with the pandemic, I think you would think it'd be easier because no one's doing shit. But it's a little bit harder, no? Because really, like, people aren't doing injuries right now at all for whatever reason.
And it's not super easy anymore. It wasn't early in the pandemic, but it's not so easy right now to get a hold of people.
And I think too, like, not having live events kind of affects it too, because when we're at an event, we have content guaranteed.
Yeah, guaranteed. We know
we can at least get a
part of our mission is to go out there and get some interviews from
people.
And
a lot of small events like Kabate or whatever, we're free to walk around.
Yeah,
and
bigger events, you're kind of
restricted to do things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that like Combate, LFA, Invicta, Glory, those are a lot easier to like walk around, go backstage, get interviews. You see somebody in the stands, go and hit them up for an interview.
Yeah.
A lot easier
on
those smaller shows. But yeah, I think even before the pandemic, a lot of those promotions started to cut back on their
travel.
Their travels and their events out here. Bellator mainly had their events up in San Jose. At the Windstar, and then a couple down in here.
Yeah.
But mainly over in San Jose. UFC was always difficult to get into.
Yeah.
And rarely had events out here.
Dana did us a favor by letting us get in.
Yeah. Glory went back overseas. Invicta stays at their home base in, Kansas City. They don't really...
Which doesn't make no fucking sense.
Yeah, they don't come out here anymore.
But the whole Glory thing I understand, because I think... Kickboxing in America is kind of hard to sell.
Mm-hmm.
People don't really follow it as much as they do overseas, so it makes sense why they wouldn't come.
Them. Yeah. And then LFA, RFA, all those Combate, most of the time it's out of here.
Yeah.
But then they started going international to Vegas.
Yeah,
to
they stopped. Mexico, they stopped going.
Venezuela. They would go to like South.
Well, another fuck because their president is in handcuffs for.
Yeah.
For beating a chick and tying her up and doing dirty things to her.
Yeah. Or Alberto Del Rio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they have Campbell. Campbell's mainly the face of the...
Yeah, I think Campbell's gonna be a flick.
Yeah. But yeah, man, those first few years is great, man. Like, even in the last couple of years, it's been a lot, I think, like, consistent in terms of doing our show. It's been good. And just... doing it and just put in our episodes, whether we have a guest or not. Yeah. I think the last year or so has been like, let's just get together, do an episode, put it out. If we get a guest, cool. If not, cool.
It's tough.
Like, we didn't even really try to get people on for this 200th episode. I think it was mostly just like, let's just get together, do an episode.
So, yeah.
You know, I'm not sure what the future will hold. I'm sure we're going to continue just doing this thing. You know, there's no reason to stop, you know. You know, I think there are certain things that we've tried. We've done a lot of experimenting and a lot of trying to do different things to promote the show and to get the thing out there. And there's certain things that we haven't done that we could do.
Yeah, we could always just like venture out and do other stuff together, but a different name maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I think traction-wise, and to be honest, I mean, it's we have a decent audience, but it's not where
it needs to be. Or it should be.
It needs to be and where we think it should be. And it's I would put the blame on us, you know what I mean? Where we I don't know if we're doing enough or we're doing the right things. And then you pick apart, you try to nip, you try to like talk to people who are in the business and see what they, how they do.
And a lot of them don't really want to share.
Yeah, and I think a lot of them, you know, not to mention any names, but I think a lot of them don't know what they're in the same boat as us. And they've tried a lot of the things that we've tried. But
it's a big difference. Like, we're homegrown, where those guys are established.
Yeah, we're nobodies. Names. And a lot of people that we know they have a following, they have a fan base. Or
once they have a following and you pick up a mic and you start talking, people are going to listen to their fans.
To you, you know what I mean? Like I'll mention these guys, like Richard Hunter and
Frank Mir.
People know who they are, especially Frank Mir. They work hard on their podcast and they do their thing. And they're consistent with it for the most part, from what I can see.
Are they still doing episodes?
I think so. Not as much lately though, from what I can see. But I don't know. Wei Ting and John Pollock, you know, they were at the Fight Network and then they came over.
Do solo,
They went solo, independent, and then they've blown up. They've succeeded.
Oh yeah,
you know,
I think they got ranked number one wrestling podcast. Yeah.
But they also had a following that went with them.
Yeah,
and those guys were just a couple of fucking nobodies. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
and then those guys they do like 3 episodes a day.
Yeah, they put different shows. They put in a lot of work. They put in a ton of work.
It's like every day at least 3 episodes. Yeah.
And I mean,
but they get paid, so you know, the motivation isn't hard.
Yeah,
once you're getting paid for it,
and we'll talk about like We'll also get into, like, for people who haven't done podcasts and you're thinking about podcasting, we've been asked before at events, like, oh, how did you guys start? Or what did you guys... As for those people that have asked us before, like, oh, how did you break into the business? Or, and it's just like that. It's like, it's as simple as picking up the mic, investing a little bit of money into some equipment. Like, these mics were like $25 each or some shit like that. Or I don't know what the fuck. These were like not expensive. You try to look for the best, most inexpensive or affordable equipment that you could possibly get. These were Shure mics, but they're not like the big ones that you see mostly in all podcasts. They're like, those are like almost $500 each. These are, you know, two for less than 100.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, we have like a recorder over here, Tascam recorder. That was probably like $60. A DSLR camera to get the video. You know, if you're looking to host your audio, you're looking at like maybe $14 a month to do that. Websites usually have like a yearly fee. And that helps with like creating some more legitimacy and, mm-hmm. and getting credentials. And,
yeah.
Which we used. And then I think once events started to die down and we were kind of already established with a lot of these organizations, especially like Bellator, we didn't really need the website anymore. We kind of stopped, cut that loose. But it helps also with two people because you can cut the cost. You can split the cost and it's not so taxing on people.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. And then
I think with us, I think what happens too is being fanatics in the sport.
Yeah, you have to enjoy it, and you have to enjoy what you're talking about. Right. Know a little bit,
but like we would like stalk the fighters in the hotel rooms, and it got to the point where those fighters that we kind of like stalked got to know who we are, and that's how we built
and
relationships.
You remember how nervous and how you try so hard to come off professional at like press events.
Ugh. Even now.
And then it's after so after we were, you know, kind of used to it, you know, you see other people that are just starting out and you could tell that they're like half-assing it.
Oh yeah. Ugh. Some of those questions are horrible.
Oh my God. The questions that they're asking.
What they wear. Like
how they're dressing.
Not professional
the
at
name
all.
Of the name of whatever fucking website or podcast they have.
And some people like giving their shirts away to like people who are working in the media. I'm like, why would you do that?
Yeah. Like, there would be like one or two like people that just shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
That they just shouldn't be there.
Oh my God.
We've seen people break.
I did it again.
We've seen guys like, and this is that major event. Press conferences. Yeah,
I think it was Bellator.
Bellator is one of them. This one guy literally broke down in the middle of a question.
Yeah.
Had like a panic attack. In the
middle not
of
again.
Not again. On the mic. Remember those guys, those...
Oh, from the...
Glory?
Yeah, with the Red Rooster.
A chili Red Rooster show MMA podcasting, but they look like a bunch of like stoners,
like kids.
Stoner kids from the mall.
Yeah.
And it's like
with shorts on and like
wish a sweatshirt and backwards hat and fucking like just like sad.
I felt embarrassed for the company.
I felt embarrassed for the company.
Like, can you imagine that's who you're credentialing?
Yeah. And it's like, and I get it, the PR guys have to fill the seats in for media, and especially if it's a smaller promotion, you're not going to get that much media, and you're kind of desperate a little bit to get media to attend your event. And luckily that benefited for us, that worked in our favor because we were able to get into pretty much every organization.
Yeah.
But you know, where UFC could be a little bit more selective. But we at least went in with the mindset that we're going to dress decent.
Yeah.
We're going to...
Either button-up shirt or polo.
Yeah, button-up shirts, polos, you know, nice shoes, our hair done, showered, shaved, all that stuff. We brought equipment that looked and was professional.
Yeah.
And we honestly, in a lot of ways, kept our mouths shut.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We knew our roles.
We knew our place.
Yeah.
We observed the big dogs, and then we felt like, okay, we can chime in when we felt like it was good. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, those are tough times.
Those are tough times. You know, like trying to get a question in. And then, like, remember there's one press, I think it was Invicta, and he had Marker Mundy, I think. Was it Marker Mundy? Was like the, he was a senior head writer. And this was before he went to like
ESPN.
He was still like low level MMA fighting. Mm-hmm. But he went to, he was like, he took over that interview because it was like the scrum surrounding Cyborg. And we're there, and I just remember he took over, and you could see the look in his face, the smugness.
Yeah. Like,
don't worry, guys.
Okay.
I got it.
Right? Don't worry. This is amateur hour.
You just sit back. This is an amateur hour. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
And that was one of our early events, too.
Yeah.
But we knew our place. We just,
observed.
We observed. We recorded. We might have got a question in or two. And then I think it might have been from that event where we hit him up to be on our show. Was it that event?
I believe so.
I think it was, right?
Was it? Because I remember going to a Bellator show as a fan.
But were we cool with him before? Was he on our show before that event? Or I think that might have been the event that we connected with him.
Maybe. I don't know. Because my memory serves, like, I remember me, you, and your wife went to an event, remember? Is it a college?
Yeah.
And he was doing the judging. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we approached him.
Oh, he was writing that article about MMA judging.
About the judging, yeah. And we approached him saying that we're fans of his. And I believe I asked him for his number that day.
Okay, yeah. It might have been before then.
And then he took a picture of it. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
I got his number.
Yeah.
And that's how we hooked. That's why we were able to call him that, you know, sometime in the future.
Yeah. And he was on our show a couple times, at least two or three.
His girlfriend gave us, remember, donuts.
Yeah. Now he doesn't really talk to us there.
No,
he's kind of
big. He pretends like he doesn't know us.
He big times us.
Oh yeah.
I don't know. I think as far as making a successful podcast, I think the only thing we haven't done was put a lot of money into the advertising. I think what we relied on is word of mouth. Relied on getting the biggest guests that we could possibly get.
Yeah.
And which we did.
Yeah.
And have them remind them to tweet, share, like, post, whatever. Which a lot of them did.
Surprisingly.
And
you know, like about that Mark Winter thing, it's funny how he pretends he doesn't know us or he doesn't know our name.
Yeah.
But you got a guy like Ariel Helwani who clearly knows our names and says our names.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find the Ariel Helwani
thing. Or like the what's the guy's name? Garrett Davis knows our names.
Oh yeah, Garrett.
And he has every right to be too good for us, but he's a guy that is consistently cool with us.
Oh yeah, at one of the last Bellator events I was at, and that we were at. I don't know if you were at that one where, I mean, having pizza in the lobby with him, like getting drink and fucking just like, the guy's just like one of the most successful MMA journalists working, and is super nice and humble and just such a just a cool guy.
Yeah.
Let me find an aerial one.
Yeah, it should be like, it was UFC 199. It's the infamous one where he gets booted out. I think that was, Do you remember
this one? Look at Israel Adesanya, Glory.
Oh, damn. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw it there the other day. I was like, oh my God, it's so fucking funny.
And for us, it was just like, it was as fans, just cool to be at these
events. like at that time I remember like saying like I well even now I still believe this, that I can care less about if I get paid or not. It's all about being able to get there a free entrance or a free ticket to the event and watch guys that you literally, you know, are fans of and grew up with.
Yeah,
they're fighting right in front of you. We can hear the kicks and the punches,
and then them getting to know us as like people and individuals, and not just as media, like being able to say hi to certain people, like, oh, here's Bruce Buffer. Bruce Buffer here, and you're listening
to the MMA Complex. Oh yeah, that's right. I want to use that as a soundbite. I don't remember. It should be there. Like, it's not too far away.
It was for the... For...
The UC...
Oh, here it is. I found it.
Hey, it's Ariel in beautiful Inglewood, up to no good, California, with my guy James here. He's very shy. There he is. And we also got Joshua back there of the MMA Complex podcast, my favorite podcast. I keep asking them to come on the show, and they keep turning me down, these assholes. It's unbelievable. Check it out. It's a great show.
It's a great one.
It's a great one, man. Oh, man, that was such a good... That was $199 press...
And he knew both our names.
He knew both our names. I didn't introduce myself as a freaking... my name is Josh. No, he knew us.
Yeah.
Because we were harassing him for so long.
Yeah. And to this day, like, we're cool. I can message him and he'll respond right away.
Yeah. Good times, man.
That's like one of my favorite shout-outs.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites, too. Yeah. Let's get some fight talk. So we have memory lane right there. 200th episode.
Yeah.
200. Cheers. 200th episode. 200, cheers. So, yeah. So, in fight news, a couple of fight news. Carlos Felipe versus Justin Taffa on UFC's January card, January 16th card.
I heard Dan Hardy wants to make a comeback against Dan Hardy, right?
Yeah, Dan Hardy wants to come back. Let's talk about the last weekend's fights, because the fights from last weekend with Corey Sandhagen and Marlon Moraes was, I think, a great card. It was a very fun, entertaining
card. Every fight had a finish.
You had Bellator, 1FC, and KSW all had events over the weekend. You had Bellator with two cards. You had MVP winning by, I believe, unanimous decision. Kind of a lackluster win. Not a big win for him, but he won on his night. I think that was Friday. Timothy Johnson defeating Czech Congo on Saturday. And then UFC had their card, Marlon Moraes versus Corey Sandhagen, on Saturday also. And the card overall, like I said, it was like finishes, just exciting fights. It was just a great, exciting card. I loved it. Who were some of the standouts? It was, you go Sandhagen. I mean, let's just start with Corey Sandhagen. He looked like he was just one step ahead of Marlon Moraes the entire fight.
Dude.
Like, he outclassed him.
That was a clinic.
That was a clinic. I mean.
Literally a clinic.
Calm, cool, collected. It just precision, experimenting with different strikes.
It's kind of sad to see Marlon Moraes go out that way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, before that.
You could see it. You get to see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, he was on a tear. He was some of that. Most people didn't want to fight.
Yeah.
Head kick to and rolled back.
That was crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That was vicious.
And Sandhagen, I think, is asking for, obviously, the winner of Peter Yan and Aljamain Sterling, that winner. But he's asking for Frankie Edgar or who else is in the division? There's two other veteran fights.
Finding Frankie would be a smart thing.
Yeah, there's only two people ahead of him in the division. There were two veterans. It was Frankie and someone else. I forgot.
Jose Aldo.
I don't know if it might have been Jose. It might have been Jose, but I don't think it was Jose. I don't know. But I think a Frankie fight and a Corey Sandhagen fight would be great. I think Frankie would probably take that fight.
Yeah.
To
avenge the loss of his teammate.
Yeah. And then you have. He just looked great, man. And I think he's can he fight for a title and win the title? Yeah, with those type of skills and his height and his reach and his physical attributes. He lost to Aljamain Sterling recently, but if you look at like a Peter Yan, I think he could beat a guy like Peter Yan.
Yeah.
Who's not as flashy of a fighter, not as his arsenal of strikes isn't as crazy.
And, you know, it's smart him, kind of going after these veterans because he can build a name. for himself by beating those names or those established guys.
He's one fight away from a title shot, basically. Edson Barboza picking up a win.
That guy's always flashy.
Yeah, against Merikani. Looking great. You know, Merikani asked for that fight, and honestly, he didn't deliver. In my opinion, he didn't really throw a lot. I think he allowed Edson to stay at his range that he wanted.
Yeah, he pretty much it reminded me of Stop Bender and Acosta.
Yeah, yeah,
and not so bad. But
and knocked it. Well, he did had like three knockdowns in the fight. And he just outclassed Merikani, and Merikani was his gun shy. Like you know the people that have beaten Barbosa before were the guys that took the fight to him.
Yeah, because you can't give him space. And once you give him space, it's over. Yeah. Like, it gives him, like a way to, like, just throw those kicks.
Throw those kicks and punches and keep you at a distance. That's all. He wants to keep you at a distance. And you fight him close. Beat him. Ferguson beat him.
Yeah, because they fought him close.
They fought him close, and they took the fight to him. That's the way to beat him. Marcin Tiberian in a rock'em sock'em with Ben Rothwell. That was a fun fight. Which one was the head kick? Spinning back kick.
Oh, damn.
Joaquin Buckley and Impa Casagna. That was
sick. That whole card was sick.
That was on the prelims, dude. That was on the prelims. Giga Chikadze is a guy who is also on that card.
I wonder how many views that fight got after it went viral. Probably a lot.
A lot. That was such a... I don't know. Greatest knockout?
No.
No.
But it was really, it was like a whole shit moment.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It was definitely an old shit moment.
Yeah.
Like
fuck.
Like, oh, like sometimes I'm in here, I'm like, oh, like, I'm like, I usually do that. And I'm like, oh my fucking God. Yeah.
You know, like, I say you
the
too.
People in the living room can hear me.
Like, yeah. What's going on, guy? Yeah. I say the same thing. I go, fuck.
Yeah, fuck. We're like, holy, what? Oh, no, this guy got knocked out right now.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh.
Nobody. No, you don't know who they are. No, never mind.
That's funny.
Yeah, just all around great card. I mean, it was just a fun card. Corey Sanhagen, one fight away from, I think Marlon. I feel bad for Marlon because he's a good guy too. But he's going to be that middle ranking. He's got to fix something.
Well, yeah, because that.
I heard he switched camps. He went down to like.
Yeah. Didn't he go back to Brazilian?
I thought I think he went to Coconut Creek. I thought he went to American Top Team or something.
Oh, shit. Well,
I don't know.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. I don't know. I think he was up there in Jersey with Frankie and all that. I mean, he was doing pretty good. I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw that he switched camps, and I think that was a good idea. But what do I know? This weekend, let's get to this weekend's cards, and then... wrap up the show. We have Bellator Cyborg versus Blankau. Patricky Pitbull and Jaleel Willis on the co-main event. Ricky Bandejas versus Leandro Higo and Sada Wad versus Mandel Nalo. This is a good card. It's probably one of the best main cards that Bellator's had in quite a while. So everybody suggests to watch it. It's going to be their first fight on CBS Network. It is tomorrow. Yeah, it is tomorrow from the Mohegan Sun. CBS Sports. One Championship having a fight this weekend. Alife is this weekend. And you have Ortega versus Korean Zombie. On the main card, on the undercard, let's see who we have on the undercard. Claudio Silva, who was on our show before. James Krause. Pollyanna Botello. Thomas Almeida versus Jonathan Martinez, kicking off the main card. Modesta Bukowska and Jimmy Crute. Jessica Andrade versus Caitlin Chikugian. And Brian Ortega versus Chan Sung Jung, Korean Zombie. Andrade versus Chikugian. Pretty good with Andrade, huh?
Yeah.
I think it's a little...
Yeah.
I mean, Chikugian's up there, but I don't think she's... For a bulldozer like Andrade, I don't think she's...
Yeah, she's too... Yeah, she's a...
Yeah.
She's a strong wrestler.
Ortega versus Chan Sung.
Ooh.
It's a long layoff for both.
Yeah.
More so for Brian.
Yeah.
Almost 2 years out. you know, surgeries, reevaluating where he's at. You got the power of Chansung, all around scales of Chansung, versus the jiu-jitsu game of Brian, the chin of Brian. Good boxing skills.
I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to go with Korean Zombie.
I think the power is going to set him aside. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
I was going to go with Zombie. I think Brian is, he's got great stand-up. Obviously, it's not on the level of Max Holloway, but he's got good stand-up. He's got fantastic jiu-jitsu. He's a durable guy.
Yeah.
But it's a long layoff for him. And then you have Korean Zombie.
He's always in shape because he's in the military.
He's always in shape. He's well-rounded. He's got really good at boxing. And he's got power. He's got knockout power. He's put guys to sleep.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a tough fight to come back after a long layoff like that for Brian. Like, and not being active, not seeing where you're at, not testing yourself, not learning.
He's a bit more than you can chew in this fight.
It wasn't then, but with that layoff, I counted against him. To fight a guy in Korea, like Korean Zombie,
you got to find your rhythm.
Yeah, you got to find your rhythm.
Yeah, and being away from the game for that long and not be able to do anything after surgery.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he comes back and just fucking chokes the shit out of him.
Yeah, maybe.
But I'm gonna go with Zombie. I think that
it's a safe bet.
Yeah, I think that power is the
X factor.
Yeah, the X factor right there. And we know Brian likes to get hit. That's why I'm like, that power. That's true. Is too much, maybe.
That's true.
So. All right, man. That's our show. 200.
Yeah.
200 in the books. Cheers. Official 200 episodes. It's been a fun ride, great ride. We're still planning to continue the show and bring episodes to you guys.
Yeah.
Try to get you guys guests, and we'll be here, and hopefully you stay on it with us for the ride.
Right,
and continue on this path and share, like, tweet, all that. So thank you for watching.
Wash your hands. God damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
See you guys later.